John, the sixth chapter, from verse 1 to 13. I'm reading the Weymouth New Testament translation. After this, Jesus went away across the Lake of Galilee, that is, the Lake of Tiberias. A vast multitude followed him because they witnessed the miracles on the sick which he was constantly performing. Then Jesus went up the hill and sat there with his disciples. The Jewish festival, the Passover, was at hand. And when he looked round and saw an immense crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to put Philip to the test, for he himself knew what he was going to do. "7 pounds worth of bread," replied Philip, "is not enough for them all to get even a scanty meal." And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and a couple of fish, but what is that among so many?" Bible Before Breakfast, Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo here. I always like to read about Jesus and the amazing things that he did when he was here as a man. Honestly, I would have loved to live in the time of Jesus. I probably would have been one of the female disciples following him everywhere. Maybe I would have been like Mary, or maybe like, I don't know. Let's not even go into that. But every time I read about the things that Jesus did, I get a picture into the heart of God. And that for me is, I think, the very thing that Jesus came to do, to show us the Father. And so in this particular story, what happened was that Jesus was moving and a great crowd was following him because they had seen him do miracles. So of course they wanted to see more and to hear more from him. And so they started to follow him. And Jesus looked and he saw the crowd increasing. And Jesus thought ahead. And that's the thing I love about him. He always thinks ahead. He's never stranded. He never deals with our lives like some random issue. He's very intentional about us. And so Jesus saw this crowd and he knew that at some point these people would get hungry. And so he called Philip. And he said to Philip, "Where can we buy food for these people?" Now, Jesus' intention was to test Philip, to know if Philip was learning anything. And to also see the state of his heart, if he was really following, to see if he was even catching on with all the things that Jesus had been doing. Jesus knew what to do. He wasn't asking because he didn't know what to do. No, the Bible tells us that he knew what to do. He's a planner. He's like God the Father. God the Father is such a planner that Jesus was slain even before the foundation of the earth, even before we knew we would need Jesus. Even before we sinned, he was slain before the earth was created. Even before Adam and Eve came on the scene, God had a backup plan. Your life is not some random issue with God. He's intentional with you. There's nothing that will happen in your life that will take God by surprise. You're going through infertility, God knows. You're going through joblessness, God knows. Your career is not growing, God knows. You're lonely, you're single, God knows. You're married and you're lonely, God knows. The sickness in your body, God knows. And he already has a remedy. And so he said to Peter, "What should we do?" And Peter went logical with God. Bread for all these people, even if we were to buy 1 year's wages, as another narrative tells us. It says it won't be enough to go around. And then from nowhere, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, shows up. And to be honest, in fact, let's be fair to Philip first of all. The truth is, this problem looked like a money issue. So that's why he thought, if we're going to buy, because Jesus said, "Where can we buy?" And the guy just thought, money. The problem with money is that money cannot solve all problems. And if the problem you have is a money problem, then to be honest, it's not a real problem. Because until you have a problem that money cannot solve, you won't know what a real problem is. So Jesus said, where can we buy? And the guy thought to himself, really? Even if we found where to buy, it wouldn't go round. No one is going to be able to supply this amount of food. But then Andrew comes on the scene. And then Andrew says, oh, but there's this guy. It's a little boy. And he has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But then he says something in the next line. He says, what is this among so many? There was where the real problem lay. Sometimes as human beings, we come up with a likely solution to a problem we think we have, and then we talk ourselves out of the solution. Be careful not to expect your solution to be only one way. Jesus said, where can we get food for them? Philip said, even if we had the money, we're not going to get a supplier. And then Andrew sees, is it possible that this 5 loaves and 2 fish can make a difference? And then he says, no. What is this among so many? How can this be enough to go around? One of the things I've learned about God is that there's nothing small with God. If you put it in his hand, he can make it into something great. So Andrew made the mistake most of us make every day. This looks like it, but this cannot be the solution. Sometimes we go to God in prayer with the wrong things. And I want to address something today. And I'm hoping that it will set some of us free and possibly bring some light and some clarity into this particular area of our lives. Sometimes we go to God in prayer thinking that God must answer us in a certain way. So we go to God and we literally put him in a box. And we say, I want to feed 5,000 people. So I need money and I need a caterer. And God is asking, do you need money and a caterer, or you need to feed 5,000? Sometimes the way you're looking for that answer is not the way it will come. Lord, I need money to buy a car. Do you need money to buy a car, or do you need a car? Because our minds sometimes have created a God that we can control. Because if our God is too big for our mind to contain, then we can't really trust him. We can't follow him. We want a God we can control. So we say, you know what, God, sit here. This is what I want from you, and this is what I want you to do. So I want you to give me a husband by December 31st. He must be tall, dark, handsome. And if he's not tall, dark, handsome, rich, then he's not the one. And God is saying, you can't box me. What if I want to give you short, fair, amazing? What if that's the plan I have for you? And you say, God, I want a car. I want money to buy a car. I want money to buy myself a car. And God is saying, I can send you a car so you can use your money for other things. But we're so fixated on how we want the answers to come. We say, the small faith that I have, what is it among so many? I heard Mike Murdock say many years ago, that if the money in your hand is not enough to be your harvest, then make it your seed. And so they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. It wasn't enough to be a harvest. But in Jesus' hand, it was a mighty seed that would bring a harvest. So Andrew came to Jesus in faith, and in the same instant destroyed his faith. He said, we have this, but what is this among so many? So today, I want our prayer to be, Lord, help me to see the way that you see. Because Jesus already knew there was a solution, and Jesus already had the solution. So the test was really to see if they had begun to see the way he sees. He already knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to do a miracle. He knew he was going to feed them. He knew. And so the 5 loaves and 2 fish was more than enough for God to do that miracle. But the very next thing that Andrew said literally canceled out his faith. So my question to you this morning is, what's that thing in your hand that you're asking, what is this among so many? What is this money among so many problems I have? What is this little time of prayer among so many things I have to do today? What is this among so many? In God's hands, it's a lot. Good morning. What a wonderful way to start your day. Bible before breakfast with Mildred Kingsley-Gongo.